Well, hey everybody, we want to welcome you to week number 3 of our 4-week Advent devotional video Bible study.
Absolutely.
And let's introduce ourselves.
I'm Katie Black.
And I'm Weldon Barres, and we're the pastors here at First United Methodist Church in downtown Lake Charles. As we begin, we just want to do a quick little reminder about our Christmas Eve services.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Get ready, get your pen ready. So we're going to have 5 services. 10 a.m., 12 noon, 4 p.m., 5:30 p.m., and 7 p.m.
That's a lot of services.
It's a lot of services.
Why are we having so many services?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but we are currently in a global pandemic.
Yeah.
And one of the things that is highly encouraged in that is social distancing. So one of our problems with that is last year at our 5:30 p.m. service, do you remember how many people we had?
Over 600.
We had over 600 people. Our current COVID capacity of our sanctuary is 200.
200, yeah.
So we can't have 400 extra people showing up at the same time and it be safe. So we're adding some services, and we're also asking for our church members, our families, and friends to call the church office from 9 to 2 to make a reservation. So say what service you'd like to go to, and then also how many people, the names of the people, so we can have you down and ready for church on Christmas
Eve. That lets us know how many to expect on Christmas Eve.
And that way we'll know, hey, we have too many people. So beforehand you can say, if 4 p.m. doesn't work, you can make that plan now, as opposed to showing up at 4 p.m. and saying,
we
don't have room.
And then also, all 5 of our services are going to be streamed live as they happen.
Absolutely. So on our Facebook, and then also on our church website.
Yeah. So if you have any hesitation, you're not feeling well, you feel like you're at high risk, join us online.
Absolutely.
Get a candle, get the communion elements, and you can do that.
And we'll be able to have all of that participating online as well.
Okay, we come today to week number 3.
Yes.
Let's kind of talk about the first 2 weeks as to what we did.
So the first week we talked about kind of the 2 meanings of Advent, and in looking at the Advent wreath, we said it was to mark time and to share light, to spread light.
And that really spoke to me. It really did. That Advent should remind us to mark time and to spread the light. And I hope and pray that all of us are doing that in this season of Advent.
Absolutely. And then last week we talked about the Advent wreath, and we talked about the 4 weeks of Advent and what every week means. So week 1 of Advent means hope. Week 2, peace. Week 3, which is the week we're in, the pink candle, joy. And then week 4 is love. And of course Christmas Eve will light the Christ candle.
The Christ candle. So 4 words: hope, peace, joy, and love. 4 words to really key on during the season of Advent.
Absolutely.
As we come to week number 3, Reverend Katie and I like to just kind of chat about things just of interest, as attention-getting kind of thing. We've both had the privilege of going to the Holy Land before. And let me tell you, it's a life-changing experience to actually go to the Holy Land and see the places where Jesus walked and talked and
prayed and lived and died and rose.
It's life-changing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so on that thread, I wanted to ask you, since we're doing this study of Advent, what do you remember, or do you have any moments in which you went to the birthplace of Jesus? And there were a couple of different sites that they take you to. Do you have any particular memories associated with that, or just an experience about that?
Yeah, 2 of them stand out, and I'll just talk about one because I bet you take the other one.
Okay.
One is the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. It's the oldest church in the world. It's been there since the 300s.
Yeah.
The mother of Constantine is the one who started building it there, and Christians have been worshiping there since the 4th century.
Yeah.
It's so incredible. And built over the place, the cave, where Jesus was born. And it's just moving beyond description to go in this ancient, ancient church and to think it was in this area where Jesus of Nazareth was born. And Christians have been worshiping here for all these hundreds of years.
Absolutely.
How about yours?
My memory that stands out is of Shepherd's Field. It was a place they took us on a different day, and it was the traditional place where the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night, and the angels made the announcement to them. And so we went to this place, and it was a little bit different than the Church of the Nativity because that is a church. It is a place where there's a lot of beautiful architecture, there's paintings, there's big lines. Shepherd's Field is a field. And so it was all open, it was raining that day, so we didn't spend a whole lot of time there, but I remember thinking, you can see the heavens opening up, you can mm-hmm. envision that this is where angels came down.
Yeah, and those fields haven't changed in 2,000 years.
They haven't.
A field is a field.
Yeah. And you can still, and I mean, it's a field. You could probably go out into Hackberry and see one pretty mm-hmm. similar, mm-hmm. but you really could get an idea mm-hmm. of this is where something holy happened.
Did y'all see some of the caves?
We did. We went uh-huh. in a couple of the caves, very crammed in there, mm-hmm. But it was really neat. Mm-hmm. A lot of, they even had some lights and some mm-hmm. people had drawn some cave drawings, which I'm not sure they were supposed to have done, mm-hmm. but it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So the shepherds back then on a cold night would go into those caves mm-hmm. for protection
and warmth.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Our scripture for today that we're going to share with you, and if you have a Bible at home, want to ask you to look it up. I'm reading from the New International Version. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 50. It's part of the Magnificat, and it reads like this. It's a song of Mary. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." In my sermon Sunday morning, I talked about Mary being such a humble person, mm-hmm. and this adds to that. "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant."
Absolutely. Our Advent candles for weeks 1, 2, and 3. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks, and we do rejoice this day when we remember you. You make all the difference in the world. We look to a baby in a manger. We look to someone who walked and talked among us and did miracles, who died and who rose again. We look to you with rejoicing this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know what a lot of people ask about in churches, and I've had people ask me about this at every church that I've been to. When we start to be in the month of December, mm-hmm. Like the first Sunday of December, the second Sunday of December, people start getting kind of antsy.
They're ready.
And ready to start singing Christmas carols. Mm-hmm. And I've been asked so many times, "Reverend Weldon, it's December.
It's
we should
time.
Be singing Christmas carols." Mm-hmm. And instead of singing Christmas carols, like for the first two Sundays in December, we sing something else.
Yeah, we sing Advent hymns. And so the main reason behind that is Christmas starts on December 25th. And so we want to be mindful that we're in two different seasons. There's the Advent season, and then there's the Christmas season. Now, usually right about week 3, we kind of bend that line a little bit and we start singing Christmas carols. We'll start singing Christmas carols this Sunday at church. But those first couple of weeks, we look at Advent hymns. And the main difference is...
Wait.
Oh, go
don't
ahead.
Say it yet.
Okay.
So I wanna,
we're going to let them get
I wanna
a chance.
I want to ask you at home. Here's the question. And answer it in your mind or answer it out loud or write it down. What's the difference between an Advent hymn and a Christmas carol? I'm going to ask it again. What's the difference between an Advent hymn and a Christmas carol? Okay, you got it? Are you answering it?
Typing it in.
He's typing it in. They're answering it out loud. They're saying it. Now Katie's going to tell us.
Okay. Advent hymns are all about the preparation of Christ. So Christ is not yet here. It's something we're looking forward to. And it's also looking forward to the birth of Christ and, of course, the second coming of Christ. So two popular examples that we'll be talking about today is "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," waiting for Jesus, and then "O Come, Emmanuel." In both of those, we are waiting for Jesus to arrive, and Christmas hymns, Christmas carols, are about the birth of Christ.
Like, joy to the world.
Mm-hmm. Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born.
Yeah, hark the herald angels sing, mm-hmm. away in a manger. Those are all Christmas carols that we love, mm-hmm. but just they really should be sung much, much closer to the actual Christmas day. Mm-hmm. So Advent hymns are hymns of preparation for the coming of the Christ child. And it's so important that we walk slowly and carefully through the season of Advent.
Absolutely.
And part of that is the singing of Christmas Advent hymns.
Absolutely. So today we're going to be looking at two different Advent hymns. So the first one that we're going to be looking at is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. If you happen to have a United Methodist hymnal, it's on page 196, but we also have some pictures out there and we'll be talking about all the words as we go through this.
What page?
196.
196. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Mm-hmm. We have already sung this. I think we sang it on the first Sunday of Advent.
And we'll also be singing it this Sunday. Now, do you know who wrote Come Thou Long Expected Jesus?
Now, you know that I know.
I know that you know.
Yeah.
But do they know that we know?
So, we ask you, who wrote Come Thou Long Expected Jesus? Here's a little hint. He is the most prolific Methodist hymn writer.
Mm-hmm.
His initials are?
C.W.
C.W. He was a brother.
He was a brother.
To somebody pretty famous in Methodism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who was it? Let me hear you scream it. Yes! They said it!
They said it. Charles Wesley.
Charles Wesley.
Mm-hmm. So he was our hymn writer for this hymn this week. He wrote this in the year 1744. And so he actually wrote, it's two verses, and the first verse he wrote, and he was looking around him, and he saw in the community that he was in, there were many orphans. And he saw orphans, and he also saw a divide amongst the rich and the poor, the class divide. And that really stirred something in his heart, and what he wanted people to know was come thou long expected Jesus. When he looked into the eyes of orphans, when he looked into the eyes of the poor, he said, what is needed here is the coming of Jesus.
Mm, very profound. Katie's familiar with this little book. In selecting our hymns for each Sunday, it's called The Hymns of the United Methodist Church, and it gives a little background info on various hymns. And I always like looking up and seeing the little commentary. On this one, it says, this beloved Advent text by Charles Wesley touches the full range of biblical memory and human hope, evoking the promise of Christ coming to transform human life in the present.
In the present. I like that. So, I want to read that first verse because I think that this is going to illuminate to everybody exactly what we're talking about here. It says, come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart.
Mm. In the midst of a day and time where so many of us are afraid, mm-hmm. and paralyzed by worry and anxiety, that's our prayer. Mm-hmm. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Free our fears, from our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee.
Now, go ahead, sorry.
You said a few minutes ago before we started that maybe if we ask you real nice, you would sing this verse for us. And it was either you or me, uh-huh. and we both voted for you.
Oh, okay, I see that. Okay, so I'm going to give this a try. I am not Emmy. I am not Tony. But I will give this a whirl. I'm not even Nate, who could probably sing both of us under the table. But I'm going to give it a whirl. Forgive allergies and any imperfections. Here we go. So... Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart.
Beautiful. beautiful.
Not quite there, but no, we'll get Emmy in here for the next round.
Yeah, that was gorgeous. Beautiful. Katie has such a good voice, and I'm so thankful to stand next to her on Sunday morning and hear her sing. It talks about expectations.
It does. And I love that word, come thou long expected, Jesus. This is not a prayer of saying, I hope one day that this will happen. I wish, you know, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We want it for you. Charles Wesley and the prayer of our heart is saying, we expect Jesus to come into our lives.
Yeah, come thou long expected Jesus. That it's the promise of Scripture, the certain promise of Scripture, that someday Christ is coming back for a day of deliverance and a day of judgment. And as you said, it's not some pipe dream. That's the firm promise of Holy Scripture, starting from the first book of the Bible all the way to the last book, that someday Christ is coming back. And so he says, come thou long expected Jesus. That's talking what I'm saying, his second coming, and what he's referring to here is the first coming,
the
of,
first
Christ.
Coming of Christ.
As the prophet said, the Messiah is going to come. So come thou long expected Jesus.
He's referencing back in Isaiah when it's saying the root from the stump of Jesse, when he's saying wonderful counselor, almighty God. He's also referencing a book of the Bible that you might not have read recently, from the book of Haggai.
Okay,
do you say Haggai?
Yeah, for the most part. Let's spell Haggai.
Okay, Haggai.
It's one of the minor prophets.
Minor prophets.
There are 12 minor prophets, and Haggai is one of them.
Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for the book of Haggai, don't blink. You might miss it. It's towards the very back of the Old Testament. So Haggai, Zechariah, and the last one, Malachi. So it's, I believe, the third to last book of the Old Testament.
I'd look in the table of contents. That's the best
way to
find it.
That's the best way to find it. So Haggai chapter 2 verse 7, and it says, I will shake all the nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. And so Charles Wesley was looking at that scripture and saying, God will fill, God will come and shake the house of every nation, of the joy of every longing heart. And so he's using that scripture, he's using Isaiah as his basis for writing, come thou long expected Jesus.
So as we said last week, Advent is a time of preparation for the coming of Christ. It's a time of expectation. As the people of the days of the New Testament were expecting the coming of the Messiah to be born as a suffering servant, we are now looking for the triumphant Christ to come again.
Absolutely.
Come thou long expected Jesus. What does this Advent hymn want us to do? How does it prepare us in this time of the year?
So this question, I want to turn us to verse 2 for. And it says, and this was actually, Charles Wesley borrowed this from a prayer that was already existing, and he put it to song. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. And here's where I'm thinking this answer's coming. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Mm. So what does this teach us about Advent? To rule in our hearts alone, take everything else out, let it be just Christ, and let us take the throne. Take to the throne.
So true. What powerful words. Born a child and yet a king.
So, go ahead.
It's so good to take these beautiful hymns, like these Advent hymns, and sing them, of course, but read the words and think about what the composer is actually wanting us to focus on.
That's true. So one of the things about this hymn is, we said already, it was written in 1744. It had some popularity, and like a lot of hymns, it had a wave of popularity, and then it kind of dropped off. And one of the risks of that is you can lose something very quickly. What happened to make this not happen was your old buddy Charles Spurgeon, who was a very, very popular Baptist preacher, did wonderful work. In 1855, this song was starting to fade from popularity, and Charles Spurgeon used it in his Christmas sermon on 1855. That was the focal point. And he talked about born a child and yet a king. Mm-hmm. And his whole sermon focus was on how not a lot of people are kings in this world, but how Jesus was the first one to not just be a prince and then promoted later.
Yeah.
And he was always king.
Charles Spurgeon was such a popular preacher that the fact that he preached about this and talked about the song revitalized the song.
It revitalized the song, and it eventually made it into the next grouping of hymn books, and so it wasn't left out. It was kind of on the chopping block, and it had been left off of some other hymn books. But Charles Spurgeon brought it back.
Yeah. I want to look up something to show us, Katie. I have a collection of the sermons of Charles Spurgeon here in my library. I'm a big Charles Spurgeon fan, and I've been for years, because I just think he's one of the greatest preachers of all time.
Prolific.
And mine goes back to the year 1864, and this was 1855. So this was probably either right when he got to the Metropolitan Tabernacle pulpit, or when he was at the one that was right before then.
Wow.
And so, just so interested. If you've never read any sermons by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I encourage you to do that. Google it. It'll take you. He was a long preacher.
Oh yeah.
It'll take you probably 45 minutes to read one of his sermons, but outstanding. And I'm going to Google this one in particular.
Yeah.
On.
He was powerful, and I mean the fact that he brought it up, that brought the song back in. He knew how to speak with fire, and he knew how to bring God's word to life.
Yeah. Well, that's something that I did not know that I've learned today, that Charles Spurgeon revitalized the Charles Wesley hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let's look at another one real quick. O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. What number is that?
So in the United Methodist Hymnal, that is number 211. So fun fact, if you're looking for Christmas and Advent hymns, look always around the early 200s. The United Methodist Hymnal does a good job of organizing those things in a neat way. And so 196 was Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, 211, not too many pages further along, is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Katie, you did such a good job on the other one. Would you sing the first verse for us?
Okay, let's see. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. That mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Beautiful, beautiful. There are seven verses in our hymnal.
I'm not singing them all.
We rarely sing all of the verses like if there are seven. In fact, I don't remember ever singing all seven.
That's true.
But the words are so powerful. And look forward to the coming of the Christ. First of all, calls him Emmanuel.
So that word Emmanuel, we see it in Isaiah. And it's word, and it means God with us, or God is with us.
O come, Emmanuel. O come, God who is with us. Not not God who's far off and away and doesn't care about us and not a part of our lives, but God who is actually with us, with us right now. O come, Emmanuel.
One of the things about this song that gets me, so we talked about Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, which was in the year 1744. O come, Emmanuel. Some of the words go back as far back as the year 800.
Wow.
So over 1,200 years ago, they had some of these words found. Most of them were set to a hymn somewhere in the 9th to 12th centuries, and then it was put to the same tune that we know, I believe in the year 1851, and it was still in Latin then. But the original words were in Latin, so O come Emmanuel, Veni, Veni, V-E-N-I, V-E-N-I, Veni, Veni, Emmanuel.
God with us, come, O come, Emmanuel. The refrain has some powerful words.
Yeah.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. The words being rejoice. Too often, we Christians, we church-going people are dour and unhappy and grumpy and serious. And Scripture says, rejoice, rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
And it's a reminder to us that we are people who have hope. We're not just people who are looking at everything around us and get swept away by crisis after crisis, hurricane after hurricane, pandemic, moment after pandemic. We are people who look forward and rejoice, and we dig down deep. And it's not always just finding the bright side of thing. It's not this Pollyanna, rose-colored glasses thing, but it's a deep joy found in the fact that God is with us and not distant, that God is here.
So here's a good question to think about. How do we rejoice in this Advent season with all that's going on in our lives? As you mentioned, the two hurricanes in Southwest Louisiana, a global pandemic. We have this division in our country between people. And how do we rejoice in the midst of that? And then for some people, it's something very personal. You're going through a very serious medical crisis or a family problem, or finances are tough right now, or you're having trouble at work. Mm-hmm. How do we rejoice in the midst of that?
And I think one of the easiest ways to do that is to ask ourselves, what can we celebrate? What in our lives has happened? Where is God moving in our lives? And where are we seeing God? And then the answer to that might be, I don't know, I don't see God. Take a moment and think, where is God moving? Because just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean God isn't moving. It means we haven't noticed.
That's it. So that's one excellent way to do it. Where is God in this? Mm-hmm. And the second way, I think, to rejoice is to know whatever we are going through, this is just this one point in time right now. God sees the total picture, and there is hope. God's going to see me through and you through whatever we're going through. There's hope because we have faith and we believe in God. Yeah. And because we know God is in control, we can rejoice. Even though it doesn't look good right now, we know the end result is going to be good.
Absolutely. And I love this line in here. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And this was a word and a phrase that was originally a chant. And it's something that we can bring into a chant even in the year 2020.
For sure.
When you're looking around and you're just feeling like you can't keep your head above water. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. O Weldon, O Katie, O you, O me, O Emmanuel shall come to thee. This was originally back in the Catholic Church many, many years ago, and still to this day, it was used as the chorus chant in Advent, and they would read the Magnificat from Luke, where Mary is giving her song of thanksgiving, and then they would sing, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. That's the place in the liturgy for it. And it's just a response for good things. It's a response for when we are overwhelmed. It's a response to say, rejoice, rejoice. God is here. God is coming. God will be.
And that's a word that we really need to hear today. In the midst of everything going on, rejoice. O come, Emmanuel. Let's give a quick little tease for next week, for next Wednesday. What are we going to focus on?
So we're going to be looking at some Bible characters who we find in the Christmas story.
Okay, and before we say any, well, let's not even say any, but let's ask them.
Yeah.
What Bible characters can you think of who are important or maybe just play a little role in the Christmas story? And we're going to cover every one of those characters next Wednesday. Everyone. We're not going to leave one out.
Every mouse and every mice mouse, every mouse and leave no stone unturned.
And we're going to cover everyone. So I hope that you watch us next Wednesday and participate with us next Wednesday at 12 noon and 6 p.m.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate Nathan being our videographer in the back and our coach and whatever else he's doing back there. Let me read the scripture again for today. Okay, no, you have it. You read it, and then I'll do the prayer.
Along. Okay. Well, so this is, we're just rereading the same scripture that we had earlier, and so this is from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 50. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation."
Let us pray. Lord, our prayer today in this season of Advent is, O come, Emmanuel. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, and set thy people free. Hear our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Have a great week.